Hey everyone, and welcome to the Solopreneur Grind podcast. I am here with Jacob Brown from Acquired Empires podcast. Jacob, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
It's a pleasure.
Awesome. So Jacob, I know a little bit about you. It's really interesting and unique what you do. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you're doing now, and maybe go into a little bit of how you got started?
Sure. Yeah. So basically what I do now is I buy businesses, primarily online ones. I get with a couple of people, we go after it, and then we buy and hopefully grow that business. So that's the main goal of what we're doing right now. Currently, my primary role is one of these businesses we've bought. I'm now the lead manager on it, and that business is Book Scouter. It's a textbook reselling app, and so that's sort of what I'm up to right now and what I'm doing. And I also have a podcast, the Acquired Empires podcast, where I talk about all that stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much the what I'm doing right now. You want me to jump into way back when, how I got into it? Because it's a long story.
Yeah, I'd love to hear how it got started. I mean, I have a ton of questions on just how you're operating, how you do it. Yeah. But let's start from the beginning.
Sure. So my sort of skill set and background is, I would say, in marketing. So that's how I got into the business world. I sort of got into that right out of college. Well, in the middle of college, I started a textbook buyback business that was just local, and I buy them from the students, then resell them online. I didn't have a storefront or anything like that. So I started setting up shops in all the local businesses around the campus and, you know, the schools and everything like that, just with my little table, and I'd bring people in. And then those business owners were extremely curious of why all the people were coming in for me, but not them. So that's how I sort of got into a more of a marketing role for these businesses. And a couple of them did pretty well. I helped start a doctor's direct primary care, you know, from scratch. And then there was another health food store. But after doing that for a while, and sort of not reaping all the rewards from this growth, I'm like, these owners are reaping all the rewards of my marketing efforts. And I'm just, you know, getting a part of it. That's sort of how that works. And I'm like, I need to be an owner. So at that point, that was about 3 years ago. And then I started looking into actually how to, you know, acquiring businesses. I'd seen a few places online, you know, people talking about them. And at that point, I joined a online business buying investment group and sort of got my feet wet into there. And then I realized sort of headhunting businesses for sale, finding off-market deals. That's something I was really good at. So that's what I sort of shifted my actions to, was finding deals that weren't on general business marketplaces. And we can dive into more of what that even means. But finding them and bringing them into the group, that became a big specialty of mine.
Right, right. Okay, I have a ton of questions because I find this so interesting. Staying back right near the beginning, it sounds like you were very entrepreneurial in spirit, and you said that, you know, your focus and strengths have been in marketing. Was that something that you were just kind of naturally good at? Did you do a lot of marketing research or read books, or did that just come along naturally?
I would say I've always been, you know, numbers and business inclined. I think how I started the textbook buyback business was I saw that I was in the custodial department of my college, and I saw that everybody was just throwing away the books they couldn't sell. So I set up a box, just a cardboard box I got from behind the building, and printed out a piece of paper that said, don't throw them in the trash, throw them in the green box. And so that's how that business started. So no one taught me any of that, those things. And when people would ask me, like, hey, why don't you go become a business major? I'm like, I don't think they can teach me any of the things I'm currently doing. So that's been always my opinion of it. So I don't know if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I have a business degree, and they never taught us that trick in school. No. That's for sure. That reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Richard Branson, of how he got the idea for his airline. Was he got grounded because of us? You know, because of one airline kept canceling, so he chartered a plane and walked around the airport with a sign saying, you know, flight to wherever for $50, and he ended up filling up the whole plane. So it kind of reminds me of that. So, but the marketing stuff, because you say that really, like, that's been your strength, right? Has that part come natural? Were you learning a lot or anything like that?
So it comes natural as much as, like, basically with marketing, you just have to be able to go out and test things and see if the best practices are actually best. And test out things you've got sort of like a gut feeling on, and it's just a whole lot of testing. I mean, for that textbook buyback business, I put out maybe 2,000 flyers on cars, and I thought that was going to do real good around colleges. Zero customers. The only customers I got from that one was the students I'd ran into while I was doing that, and they asked me what I was doing, and I pitched them on, like, hey, I'll buy your textbooks, and they're like, okay, cool. So I have about a win rate of about 1 out of 10 times, but I try 100 times. So that's my strategy.
Right. So what would you say, let's say someone's looking to get started in any type of business and they have zero marketing skills or knowledge, besides doing a lot of testing, do you have maybe like one or two other tactics or strategies that you'd recommend or even good resources?
Yeah. Actually getting into like the pure business entrepreneurial world, like how I sort of got into it was by flipping stuff, and you learn a lot of like business fundamentals, real quick, and you get paid. So that's actually like garage sales and flipping stuff. The flipping the books was the first thing, but I was also flipping camera equipment at that time, and I was flipping. So I was becoming more and more aware of online marketplaces and sort of those dynamics, and getting plugged in with, you know, YouTube channels that are talking about business alongside of reselling. So that's the, with the $50 in your pocket, you could get a sort of a world-class education if you go out and try to flip stuff. And some people are, you know, better at it than others. And my strategy, like, some people go with the long tail flipping stuff. They'll buy something that's like 50 cents and sells in 2 years for $50 or something like that. Right. I always did it where it was like, I could sell it within the next 3 days for 20-30% profit. So you sort of find your own rhythm while you're doing that too. So,
right. Are you a follower or a fan of Gary Vee?
Yeah. Just had him on my podcast recently.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I mean, you talk about flipping. I mean, he's about that, right?
He's Reezy Resells. There's those guys, like, you could just get a world-class education from just going through there. I mean, the thing is, like, you're getting an education while you're getting paid. So I think if someone's starting brand new into entrepreneurship, that's what they should be doing, just to learn the numbers. So that's my advice on that.
Okay. Awesome. So let's move along a little. I want to get to, I think the most exciting part and the meat of this will be when we talk about kind of your current situation, which is, you know, finding these deals, buying and selling them. But I do want to cover a little bit of that in-between period where you were doing marketing for other business owners, because that's a popular service for a lot of people these days, right? Doing marketing, doing sales for small, medium-sized businesses. How did you break into that? And, you know, how did you get clients?
Yeah, so they were basically, like, it was a mixture between the business I was setting up, and those were the first couple of ones. And then after that point, a few friends and family were like, oh, you're really serious. And so I started with that. So I, at total, with that sort of venture, I got about 4 clients. And one was pretty minuscule. The other 2, I got into profit sharing agreements, and one still sort of paying out today. So that's sort of how I got them. I got them because they saw me out in the community doing stuff. I didn't really advertise at all. I sort of had to just come up with a weird pricing model on the spot. They're like, oh, well, you should bring in people for me. And I'm like, well, you should probably pay me. And they're like, what do you charge? And I'm like, I'll get back to you on that. So that was, it was really, I mean, I think the biggest thing for somebody going out and doing stuff like that is get, like, if you can, like, really get into their field, like, it's such a level, like, clients will just come to you. So, but it's getting that foot in the door, which is the hard part. But usually with your own business, you can kind of make it your tester project too. So,
right.
That's what I did.
That's really cool. Okay. So you have this moment where you realize that you're making all this money for other people, and you're also making your own money, but you know, you want to reap the rewards. How did you go about making that transition?
Well, so one of the marketing relations, it was, I started growing the thing for them, and then they're like, I don't want to pay you. And that just left a bad taste in my mouth because, you know, I didn't have any leverage or anything like that. So it was sort of like a, I'm never going to have this happen again, was the transition point for me. And then I, you know, and then I just started, I'd looked into a few spots of like buying a business, but I was pretty, there's just not that much. There's about a handful of podcasts out there that are really dive into it. This is where I learned most of my stuff. The Rhodium Weekend, the Web Equity Show, and those are the 2 big ones. And the Empire Flippers podcast. Okay.
A big website too, right? Empire Flippers is a buy sell website I've seen.
Yeah, and they haven't put out any podcasts in a while, but those 3 resources were pretty much my beginner education into the business acquisition world. So
right, and why did you decide to acquire and not just build one like you had done previously with the book flipping?
Well, actually, I wanted to, when I first like thought of this, there was a very specific business I wanted to get into, and I wanted to either get into like do the same thing again with like running their marketing for profit sharing, but like be squared away on my contract and everything like that, so I didn't get screwed over. It was this company called Rootmaker, and I wanted to buy that one in particular. So I started looking up how do you buy a business, all of those things. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, the numbers are ridiculous for just buying online businesses. I need to get more into this. So,
right. And so like, what was the first transaction like, and how many purchases and sales have you done since, if these are numbers you don't mind sharing?
Sure. Yeah. So I think, and so the first transactions was with the investment group that I got into. I saw that this one guy was hosting it. And it was just like a group of guys. They went in together, they bought smallish websites. One of them sort of ran it. Everybody pitched in a little bit. And so my first couple investments were, you know, minority investments, in the just a couple of $1,000 level, just getting my feet wet into them, just to see, you know, how the system works, how everything works. And then it, you know, grew bigger from there. I've been in a total of 6 or 7 deals. I'd say I'm not 100% sure because a couple of these little websites, they've sold. So I'm no longer, we've two of them we flipped, and I'm still in four. So I think that's six. But yeah, there was a few of them that were just so small and I was so passive on.
Right.
It didn't really blip my radar. They're like, there was this one that was a watch company that sold to a bigger watch company 2 months after we bought it. So that was the shortest deal I've been in. And then some other, there was a Blender review site and then women's e-commerce swimwear site. And that's, so I'm just, at this point, I'm just being like a fly on the wall while the, you know, other more experienced people are working on it. And I'm pitching in when I can, but not much. But then that leads to when I sort of started hunting down deals myself to sort of get into bigger deals was the goal on that.
Right. So before we get into that, just to clarify, because I didn't even really know that these types of groups existed. So just to clarify, it's a group of, you know, people that it's kind of like a business arrangement. And as a group, you're buying and selling these online companies. And how is it arranged on who's doing what work? So let's say you buy business X. Does everyone have a fit role every time you buy a different business, or is it decided based on which business you buy?
Yeah. So just to clarify, it's a pretty loose group. So all of these rules sort of, you know, bend and break as we want to see them, you know, as the different deals come in. But basically it's just a group of people, like a business gets brought in, usually from like the people that are more experienced in the acquisition world to say, oh, this meets the criteria for like due diligence and making sure it's not like a fake numbers or something like that. It gets brought into the group. The people that want into it sort of raise their hand to what investment they want. And we sort of make it work from there. Usually the majority for this group in particular, and there's, I think a handful of, they're much more sophisticated groups. But with this group, the lead investor sort of runs the business. And usually these are under $100,000 in total valuation. So that means they're under $50,000, and usually quite a bit under $50,000 in profit every year. So split up between a couple people, these are all just sort of, these are very part-time things for everybody. Almost everybody in the group has their main thing too. Right. So that's sort of how that investment group runs. And then then if you go into more formalized stuff like private equity, like rules and responsibilities get much more hammered down.
Right, right. So let's get into stuff like that and these bigger deals that you were referring to. So did you kind of branch away from this group because you saw there was the potential for these bigger deals, these bigger opportunities?
Yeah. The group was always sort of like it was the people in it. It's more of a passive focus. Right. And we would just buy these things for their cash flow alone and the fact that they're just a really good investment. And, you know, if they grew a little bit because we fixed some major things, that was always a plus. But we were never going after larger deals or anything like that. So I started, since if you get into the world, there's everybody's looking for deals and stuff like that. And there was a few like large capital partners that I, you know, started talking with once I sort of entered this community. They're like, hey, if you find a deal, I will incentivize you. You know, I'll pay you a broker fee. And if you want a management, I'll pay you a management fee. So I could leverage my money. You know, at this point, I didn't have tons of dollars to deploy at, large scale acquisitions, and they had, that partner had a lot of the money and needed deals and managers. So I started headhunting those deals.
And where do you even start? Cause I've bought and sold one website at very, very small scale. But so I have a little bit of an idea, but like I've been on sites, like you mentioned, Empire Flippers. I've been on Flippa. Do you use those at all? Or is this a totally kind of like off those type of auction type websites where you're hunting for these opportunities?
Yeah, for this arrangement, the capital partner I was working with, he was well aware of everything on those marketplaces. He was deeply plugged in. So that wasn't what he was interested in. And so it was all off-market deals, it would be called. Deals that are not listed out with a brokerage. That he said, hey, if you bring him in brand new, and the incentive for bringing in an off-market deal is you don't get a bidding war. You get it sometimes before anybody else looks at it. So the most deals are actually sold off-market to friends, families, business associates, and those things. So the vast majority of these deals never make it to the market. And so he was hoping to tap into that.
Right. So how do you find them? Is it networking? Is it, cold outreach?
Yeah. So that's the rub. I mean, it's everything. Basically, it's a numbers game. You just find businesses. You use some tools to tell you, I have some sort of criteria of like minimum traffic they have to have. And I don't like sites that are like under 10,000 unique visitors a month in traffic, so only over and then under a million. So unique users a month, just so we don't get some, we're not reaching out to things way outside our weight class.
Right.
And so you use those basic tools to sort of the like ProSimilar web. And that's the big one that I use for initial vetting, just to see if they're in your range. Then you find an email and then you send them an email and you say, hey, I'm interested in buying your site. It's in my vertical. Do you want to talk? And so I get about 3 out of 10 that are from that email from, and these are businesses that I've sort of vetted and I know a little bit about. So I think that's why it would be considered a little higher of that response rate. Then we start up a conversation. Most of them don't lead to anything. About, I'd say, 2 to 3 out of 50 are like looking to sell within the next 3 to 4 years. And I've found about 1 out of 100 are looking to sell right now. And right. So that's the sort of the number. So at the current one that I hunted down was Book Scouter. I brought that one in. That was around 250 to 300 of the ones I'd reached out to. So,
wow. Wow. Okay. That's really cool. I didn't know that kind of stuff was going on. And, and so you go through those, 200 to 300 people, you make your purchase. What's the plan? Like, are you trying to flip these in a year? Are you trying to just grow them and live off the cash flow? Do you outsource a lot of the work once you buy them? Kind of what's the next step?
Yeah. So that's a lot into that. So our general strategies usually take 2 to 3 years to our growth strategies usually take 2 to 3 years to mature. So right. We're looking to sell business. I mean, and everything changes as like, as offers come in and everything like that. But at like year 3, 4, or 5, we're keeping a keen eye to sell. And a lot of people, they hold them for like forever. We're always considering selling.
Right. And can you kind of explain I'm trying to think of the best way to word this, but your like investment mentality with this website.
Yeah.
Like is it kind of a, it sounds like a shorter range kind of flip, and then you're looking for new opportunities, or what's the kind of general approach, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So basically we're sort of structuring it so we're always able to sell. And a lot of times what that means when we go into a business is getting their operating procedures right, getting everything that's like fixed that was lacking from the former owners that they just didn't know how to do. And we see that when we buy it, we're like, oh, this has growth potential in X and X, this area and this area, and we have strengths in both those areas. Right. Those are businesses we want to buy. So it's really looking for businesses that lack what we have. And then, because usually when you transition a business, you're going to lose a little bit of its momentum just from one owner to the other. So you sort of have to have some built minimal growth built in to just maintain where it's at. So you right. sort of want to beat the odds on that and have like 3 times possible growth. And then you're looking at 2 times possible growth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jacob, do you do any other type of investing, and could you compare kind of investing in online businesses to other forms of investing, for example, you know, real estate or stuff like that? And the reason I ask is because I'm really interested in this stuff, kind of buying and selling websites as an asset, especially because you just have so much more control over investing mm-hmm. something like the stock market, where yeah. it's, you know, very out of your control. And the second reason I ask is because, you know, as my current business is growing and I start to build my savings account, you know, I can't help but consider other opportunities, you know, for example, real estate, especially as an mm-hmm. entrepreneur. If you don't have proof of income, it can be hard to get a mortgage. Again, maybe you don't want to get into the stock market. So, and I see this as a really cool opportunity. So could you, that was a long winded question, but kind of compare yeah. it to other forms of investing and what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah. So let me start off with the top negatives of it is it's much easier to buy a lemon online business or a business than it is to buy a lemon real estate. So that's, and then it just becomes, so that's the first thing I like to just like put that out there. Like a lot of deals on the marketplaces and everything like that, almost all of them are exaggerated. So be wary at that. That being said, like, you're buying a business you buy them between like a 2 to 4 times multiple of their profits. And what that means is you'll be paying for like a very small deal, you'll be paying around what they're making in 2 years, you'll be buying the whole business for. For a larger deal, it'll be what they're making in profit in 4 years. You'll be buying the whole business for. So that's like, that rate of return is sort of ridiculous, because that's a 25 to 50% rate of return, which is just the thing. Like, it, real estate doesn't even get close to that. Right. And so a lot of people, what they do is that are good in the space is they'll buy multiples and they'll get a portfolio together of these businesses to mitigate that sort of you know, 1 out of 10 deals are a lemon. But if you buy 10 deals and you've got this ridiculous rate of return, that's going to outperform any, absolutely any, other investment class. Like, I personally don't know, an investment class that gets sort of those things that don't like require, you know, like extreme risk to another level. So it's the best returning thing out there, but there still are risks, and you can lose the most when you're looking at the deals and you close it at the beginning and you bought into a deal that had some underlying flaws with it, which some are apparent to seasoned people and other flaws are like nobody knows about them, even the owner. So that's just, I just like to put a word of caution because it is a ridiculously lucrative investment. And especially and with somebody that has a business, investing into, like, say, an adjacent business that, like, your business and that business sort of can sort of cross-pollinate, that's when you get into some, like, really crazy growth with very little effort in it. So that's, I mean, I could talk all day on the upsides and everything, and that's why I have a podcast, because I just, if you get me stuck on the fundamentals of this stuff, I'll talk forever. But right. We can dive into more specifics. Like, I don't want to talk over, like, we can boil it down to like a personal question or something like that. I find those are super useful too. With like, if you were wanting like, hey, what would be best for me or something like that, or where are you coming from that, just to flip the table a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good approach. Like what I'm thinking of right now is, let's say you have more of a newcomer, you know, maybe even someone who's working a 9-to-5 and they want to give something like this a try, or they want to just start learning a little bit more about it, or, you know, they're on some level of interest. What would you recommend to them in terms of some first steps of, you know, weighing the risks or learning a little bit more, other than listening to your podcast, of course?
Well, there's the other three podcasts are more, the Web Equity Show is like a course on it. So go actually, right. mine is less of a course and more of just me talking a lot. I would go listen to that one for sure and get acquainted with the world of buying businesses. And then, I'd get your feet wet on a small scale, and preferably with a partner that's done it before. And that's going to save you almost everybody that's been in the space has like, I first got into the space and my first deal absolutely crashed. And usually the lucky ones, they just picked this tiny little website and they just didn't know what to do with it. And everything, you know, it was a learning experience that they were okay with the loss. But you, to mitigate that, you just have to either, the investment group's an interesting idea if you want to sort of fall into their rules, getting more attached. You pretty much have to get into the world to, and get your feet wet to sort of really see it for what it is too. So
right.
That getting involved in the communities is the big one. And the Rhodium group is another, that's a good community, but just trying to get as plugged in as you can and see, like, the biggest thing is to try to leverage your skill sets that you have to be of value to these people that are in the acquisition world. That's where you can like really level up quickly, is you can get in with a circle that's super knowledgeable and will sort of make sure you don't lose on big things, and you can actually provide value to them. That's for a newbie. That's how I sort of did it. So that's what I recommend.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you can, like, when you refer to kind of getting your feet wet, you can go on some of these broker websites and get a website for a couple $100 or like a, you know, even a couple $1,000. And worst case, if it goes downhill and you're still working a 9-to-5, you know, absolute worst case, if you're losing, you know, $1,000-$3,000, but you're learning a lot out of the process, that's, you know, that's the most practical way you could get started, because you're actually going out and doing it.
Yeah. And just to put a word of caution, I haven't seen any, like, a lot of people looking at these couple hundred deals, couple thousand deals. Most of them, from like a somewhat seasoned view, are almost not worth your time.
Right.
And so it would almost be better to, if you, so that how, I mean, I just think getting into larger deals, almost you win way more often.
Right.
And maybe getting in like a portion of somebody else's business. That's, and seeing if you can actually provide value, is that's something like I'm just talked with a guy recently who's really good at Facebook ads, and I recommended him to go like be a part of an acquisition team and bring that skill set to the table, and then somebody else does the things that he's not good at. And I mean, it's just it's a little bit difficult to for under, you know, and I'm just sort of trying to bring this back to, you know, getting your feet wet into these things. Mm-hmm. If you're not going at it with a group, there's a lot of lessons that are going to be presented to you that might, you know, just fly over your head, because you can't really, you don't have the experience to even absorb them. So that's my always suggestion is when somebody's brand new is try to get in with a group of people that are already doing it.
Right. Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. that seems like really good advice. Mm-hmm. Awesome, Jacob. Well, this was really, really great. Do you have any last kind of words of wisdom? Again, this is something very new that mm-hmm. I mean, I would wager most people don't know much about. Do you have any kind of just last comments, especially for people looking to just try something new? Any words of wisdom?
Yeah, and this might be just sort of out of left field, and but the new frontier in this space is social media accounts and Instagram accounts, and those are things you can actually really get your feet wet for a little $100 or so. And that's those are the, like, you almost can't win at lose on like when purchasing those. So I'd say if you're going to test it out, go try something like that. And then just really study up on the whole space. I mean, there's about 6 or 7 podcasts out there before you really jump into these things.
So buying and selling social media accounts as kind of a proxy to the bigger deals that you could evolve into.
Yep. They're great. They're super Instagram and specific accounts right now, are super cheap. They're not, there's relatively, there's not as many like elegant fraud strategies going on to bump up their numbers. So an average person could sort of see through a regular account, and like you can buy an account that's profitable right now and right. get your feet wet and use that to leverage into other deals too. So.
Right. Right. Awesome. Well, Jacob, thanks again for coming on. This was really eye-opening. Do you have anything you want to plug? I know you've mentioned the podcast. Maybe just rehash the name or where anyone can find you.
Sure. It's the Acquired Empires Podcast, the Business Buying Podcast. It's on, I think, almost all of the podcast platforms right now. Go give it a listen. And if you want to go give a rating or anything like that, you know, that's what I'm focused on now. But yeah, just appreciate talking about this. It's just fun to me. So
yeah, it seems like a topic we could definitely go on for hours for, but again, really appreciate it. And we'll provide a link to that in the description. And thanks mm-hmm. again, Jacob, really appreciate your time.
All right. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.